Hey there! Welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I am a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so on this podcast, I share stories, I share some of the big epic fails that I've made, I share blueprints and ideas, all with the hopes of helping you as a teacher empower your students with voice and choice. And I truly believe that in the end, the most critical factor to students having that creative voice really comes down to the role that teachers play every single day in making that happen. And before we get started today, I just want to share something that I'm super duper excited about. I have a new book coming out. It's called Empowered at a Distance. It's all about how to make student self-direction happen in virtual, remote, and then also hybrid learning environments. And it is kind of a big idea book, similar to, Launch and Empower and Vintage Innovation. But it is also very practical. There's a lot of specific strategies that I get into, some frameworks to think through. And it's also very visual. It's a lot like if you read Vintage Innovation or if you read Empower, you'll recognize lots of sketches in there and diagrams and things like that. So I am really excited about this book. It's going to be coming out this week. So in the next couple days, look for it. It'll be available on Amazon, and you can check it out at my website. If you go to spencerauthor.com, there will be a link there as well. So just wanted to share that before we get started. We're going to be talking today about student engagement in virtual learning. And it can be a real challenge. Student engagement can be a challenge in any classroom, anywhere. You're constantly reading the room to see if students are committed and focused. You adjust the pace of your lesson with attention to these slower moments when a lesson seems to drag on a bit. It's why you create moments for peer processing. It's why you use, frequent transitions and incorporate movement. You ask critical thinking questions and seek out relevant resources. You use specific teaching strategies that increase buy-in and get students excited about the subject. However, these student engagement strategies tend to be tied to, the physical environment. And as you shift toward hybrid and remote learning, peer engagement becomes more challenging and cumbersome. The use of asynchronous methods means that you can't predict the pace of a lesson anymore. The lack of physicality makes movement more challenging. And meanwhile, your natural excitement and energy that you bring to your subject is harder to convey when students aren't physically there. Teaching is typically an inherently physical job, but without the actual room, it's nearly impossible to, read the room. It's also challenging to get a sense of engagement in virtual meetings when everyone is in different locations with muted microphones. And it's really hard for teachers at the secondary level who are often staring at a bunch of blank black tiles because students aren't activating their cameras. Not only that, we have this new level of distractions. In a physical classroom, you can use space proximity and body language to get students' attention when they are distracted. But when students work from home, you can't redirect misbehavior. And for students, it can feel as though class isn't really in session. It becomes easier to miss virtual meetings here and there and ignore an assignment there, and suddenly engagement has plummeted. And this is amplified by the sheer number of distractions in a remote environment. Often the very tablets and computers that students use for work are also their entertainment devices. So it becomes way too easy to get sucked into binge watching their favorite YouTuber or going through an entire streaming service and watching a whole series and just getting stuck in the vortex of binge watching, right? Even when they focus on their work, their smartphones are going to be buzzing and pinging with alerts for various games and messaging apps and social media platforms. Many students have game systems designed to keep gaming habitual, which means they get lost for hours playing in a game. And there's a social element added to it, right? Because if they're on Xbox Live or something like that, then they're going to be interacting with friends. Meanwhile, other students are on social media, which uses those same gamification elements to keep people on the app as long as possible. It's a very real challenge. Student engagement is a huge challenge in this culture of distraction. And I see this all the time. I've heard from kindergarten teachers all the way through people who are, you know, professors leading graduate school programs who say, I'm having students that just aren't turning work in, or they're not showing up to meetings, or I sometimes feel like I'm talking to a wall. A lot of teachers have described feeling like a brand new teacher all over again. So I think we need to recognize that student engagement has become a very real challenge in these times. In many cases, students aren't logging into the LMS, or they're logging in, but they're not finishing required assignments. The specific issues vary from class to class. It could be low attendance, low completion rates, or simply lower quality of work, but we are all feeling it. This trend has been true everywhere. We're seeing it in urban, suburban, rural environments. These challenges exist in affluent and low-income schools. They happen in every grade level and in every single subject area. Now, a lack of engagement can feel frustrating. However, we need to start from a place of empathy and a lens of equity. Sometimes the issue is not engagement, it's simply that life is happening and it's really hard. Not every student has the same access to a quiet workspace at home. Not every student has the same access to physical materials. Some middle school students are babysitting siblings because their parents are essential workers, and they are living in a state of uncertainty with parents who have been recently laid off. At the university level, students might be working multiple jobs while managing family in crisis and dealing with the loss of a loved one. I mean, we have lost over 200,000 people, and that affects every single community. And in these moments, students at every level are likely experiencing various degrees of trauma and PTSD. These catastrophic situations can exacerbate mental health issues. And we have to recognize that as teachers. As educators, we need to take the time to discover the whole story. It's easy to view disengagement as apathy or laziness, but sometimes a student might just miss an assignment because the internet is spotty, or they're facing increased stress at home and they are just struggling to get out of bed. Another student might fail to log in and check assignments because they're experiencing severe depression and anxiety. I love the fact that so many teachers are being flexible with deadlines. They're allowing resubmission of assignments. They're taking the time to get to know their students. They're being patient with students who seem disengaged. And so as educators, we need to first start from that place of empathy. But we also need to fight for and focus on access and equity. This begins by ensuring every student has equitable access to technology. Not every student has the same device or the same internet connection, and that's why it's critical to work with stakeholders to provide increased access to tech. At a school-wide level, you might have a laptop checkout system, additional Wi-Fi hotspots, things like that. In some cases, students are disengaged, though, because they lack specific technology skills, and this is different than just access to the technology. So here it's important to provide curation of tech tools, maybe a tech team that will help students who are struggling, and to really focus on how do we help them learn the tech skills that they need to access the content. But it goes beyond that. Access to technology and to tech skills will not guarantee access to actual remote learning. Students also need access to additional academic supports. Every student needs to be able to access the content, the knowledge, the tools, the strategies, the teacher, the classroom community, their peers. They need access, right? And we can't always guarantee that students are going to have an equitable experience. Even when we actively work toward equity, injustices will still remain. But there are specific strategic things we can do to try to level that playing field. For example, some of your students are not going to be native English speakers. And as a result, they need access to sentence stems and to visuals and front-loaded vocabulary to other accommodations that you would provide them in person. Furthermore, exceptional learners need accommodations and supports in their distance learning. As a teacher, you might need to read and reread the IEPs and the 504 plans to make those necessary accommodations. If you're in a K-12 environment, lean in and work with those special education teachers and the disability support staff, those teachers' aides and instructional aides. If you're at a university, you might have access to a whole, host of disability support services, and it might be running through something like the library. But equity ultimately goes to something even deeper than access to education. As educators, we need to promote equitable practices in the systems we design and the materials we use. This is why it's important that we also focus on things like anti-racism and culturally responsive pedagogy. Now, I readily admit that I am still on this journey of anti-racism. But I think it's important that we take the time to check out the resources and the books, the courses, the social media chats, the conferences that focus on equity and anti-racism. It's important that if we want to be equitable in how we reach students, it has to include equity from that social justice lens as well. So again, sometimes a failure to engage is really connecting to a lack of access or a lack of equity for students. And we can break down injustice and we can build systems that allow students to access the learning. But it's sometimes a little bit different. Many of the challenges in student engagement are actually a challenge of student self-direction. When students are self-directed, they are self-starters, and that means they can initiate the learning on their own. They can problem solve the challenges that occur. They can begin the day focused on the learning, even when the teacher isn't present. They are self-starters. But they're also self-managers. They know how to keep track of the learning task, how to manage their time, how to develop systems to track their progress, how to set up reminders for themselves about the deadlines. And so if you think about self-direction, it is one side, it's sort of this Venn diagram with self-starter on one side, self-manager on the other side, and that overlap is where self-direction happens. When a student fails to log into the LMS or to show up to a meeting, that's often a failure in self-direction. So if equity is there, if access is there, and it's still not happening, it could very well be that they're just struggling to be self-directed. It might be related to executive function issues, which is why it's really important that we focus on that lens of equity, right? But sometimes it's just a failure to self-start. When a student fails to finish projects, it might not be a lack of engagement or a lack of interest. It might just be a failure to break down tasks in self-management. The students who are the best at navigating distance learning environments, in the end, are not necessarily going to be the ones who are the most tech savvy. Instead, they're going to be the most self-directed. They are the students who have developed the soft skills to be self-starters and self-managers. These are the students who engage in project management and time management. They can problem solve when tasks get challenging. They can find necessary scaffolds when they need help, and they can engage in meaningful peer collaboration. They're constantly engaged in self-assessment and peer assessment. And in the process, they have really grown to develop deeper metacognition. In other words, these students have a sense of ownership in their entire learning. Yes, they're engaged, but they are also empowered. This empowerment can help fuel their engagement. And by owning the learning, they have increased the buy-in and they are better committed to what they're doing. By self-managing, they are able to improve their focus and their sense of commitment. As teachers, we cannot guarantee that all students will develop into self-directed learners. But we can design systems that increase this student ownership and buy-in. So what does this mean? Teach students to self-select scaffolds. The idea is to teach students how to find specific learning supports that are universally accessible to your entire class. That's that piece that we talked about in the beginning, access to language supports, to front-loaded vocabulary, sentence stems, all of that. Create opportunities for ownership in virtual meetings. Find specific ways that student feedback can be used to help improve your virtual meetings, and design activities that tap into their curiosity and creativity, and even allow students to use items in their physical environment. Provide choice and flexibility in online assignments. A simple choice menu is often one of the best ways to introduce student choice and voice in a particularly structured way. So just keep that in mind. Tap into student interests. When students own the learning, they get an opportunity to pursue their own interests and passions. This varies from subject and grade level, but the goal is to empower students to pursue their interests and passions within the class setting. Empower students to own the inquiry process. Students should have frequent opportunities to ask clarifying questions and make sense out of confusing content. So let them own that inquiry process. Empower students to own the creative process and the collaborative process as well. Working remotely doesn't mean that they're working alone. They should be using both synchronous and asynchronous tools and communication to do what they're doing. Similarly, just because they're working, at home or working virtually doesn't mean that they should just be consuming content. They should be creating content as well. Empower students to own the assessment process and design assessments that boost that metacognition. Now, I want to point out that all of this can sound like a lot and it can feel daunting, which is why I think it helps to have sort of a gradual release approach to student ownership. What I mean is start out small, begin by giving them choice menus and then letting them own the creative process. Start out with maybe some small self-assessments and then have them own more and more of their assessment process as time goes on. Maybe at the beginning, you're providing them all of their scaffolds, but you teach them how to self-select their scaffolds so that eventually you don't have to do that for them and they are empowered to select it on their own. Now, ultimately though, the more that we can empower them to own the learning, the more self-directed they'll be. And the more self-directed they'll be, the better off they'll be in terms of engagement. And I think it's important that we remember that empowered teachers empower students. Teachers are the guides that encourage and inspire critical thinking. They're the architects that design deeper learning. They are the leaders of the classroom community. Ultimately, the teachers who thrive in remote learning won't necessarily be the ones who know the apps inside and out. They'll be the ones who know their students, their subjects, and their crafts. This doesn't mean you should avoid technology or fail to learn about the various apps and platforms. Schools need tech expertise, but it goes much deeper than knowing how to use the tech. Right now, things are unpredictable. They're hard, they're challenging. I get it. We can't predict what the future will hold. We don't know what next week is going to look like. We're in a state of pandemic pedagogy. But we can be strategic and proactive by designing systems that will increase student ownership. Now, there is no instruction manual to make this happen. There are no formulas or step-by-step processes we can follow. But there are blueprints and frameworks and strategies that we can use as we empower our students. So my thought is, start small. Find little ways to build ownership and empowerment into your class. And over time, they will grow more and more self-directed so that they can own the learning and become lifelong self-directed learners. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? Would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever it is that you get your podcast? Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.